KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Sex Workers film series, showing monthly at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. This month, Saturday, October 4th, the Sex Workers film series will screen Guy, Chauncey, and Her Sisters, which tells the story of one woman's brutal ordeal as a comfort woman for the Japanese Army during World War II. That's the Sex Workers film series, Saturday, October 4th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
To have a go, I'd like to be a gallery, put you all inside my show. Andy Warhol looks a scream, hang him on my wall.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Radio. My guests this week are Kate Bingaman Burt of Portland State University and Seeley Pines. They are the board member and director of Design Week Portland, a design show opening on October the 4th and ending on October the 11th. Welcome to KBOO.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
What are the highlights of this thing? It's 7 days of architects and designers getting together, getting very excited. What are you excited about?
Well, this year, I think we're really excited about this new component that we have in play, which is a fairly ambitious headquarters. We're going to be installing on Pioneer Courthouse Square. And will be open to the public for a portion of the festival from October 5th to the 10th. We're going to have 3 geodesic domes on the square, 4 programs a day in one of the domes, meetups, and a pretty epic public engagement project with illustrators in residence that Kate can tell you about.
One of the things that I'm really thrilled about kind of activating the headquarters this year is that this is the 3rd year of a Design Week Portland. And previously, our headquarters was more of just kind of a spot where people could stop by and maybe ask a few questions and maybe pick up a program and then leave. But one of the goals that we had for the headquarters this year was to really make it a multiple visit destination space and to be super public and really engage an audience that is not only people that were, you know, excited and engaged with Design Week already, but also an audience that might just have questions about what is design? Why is it here? What's this big dome doing in the middle of Pioneer Square? As well as, again, like as Seeley was talking about, having all of this different programming that's happening over the course of the week, as well as all these amazing independently curated events that are going around the city too. So to talk about one of the events that I have been involved in is the getting all the illustrators in one of the geodesic domes. We're going to have over 40 different illustrators drawing from 10 until 6 Monday through Friday. And they are going to be creating material. And actually, the public is going to be part of creating some of the content that's going to be going on the illustrated flags. So it would really be fantastic if you're just curious about what is Design Week. That's a really great first entry point for you to ask questions and to talk to designers and illustrators and actually watch them create work that might be based on some prompts that you give them about what you think design does and what it is. So again, like I feel like, again, that's a very accessible, easy entry point into the entire week.
If you go into a dome, there'll be people drawing with colored pens on paper.
Well, it's going to be actually on vinyl flags that will be hung, and they will grow over the week as the illustrators generate more flags.
But yeah, there's going to be, at any given time, 2 to 3 illustrators working in the dome during our open hours on the square. And one of the things that we're trying to achieve with that is to create sort of like an Ouroboros of engagement. An Ouroboros, you know, the snake that eats its tail.
One of my favorite words.
Yeah, totally underused word. Where people who engage with us on our social channels will have this sort of virtual piece of engagement turned into a tactile object by the illustrators, and then we're going to document these things and send them back out into virtual space to kind of show people what we've made, interpreting their content visually, and give them a reason to come and sort of visit this object that was created from what they said, and at the same time sort of have an archive of all of the conversations that are going on, because though we're going to have a really cool visualization of our social stream projected in one of the domes, that stuff is really fleeting. You know, it's here for a moment and then it's gone.
Is it mainly text, Twitter, or are you a lot more Instagram crowd?
Both, actually. We have a crowd that's extremely active on both of those channels. So the illustrators can either take a text tweet and interpret it somehow visually, or they can look at Instagram and see what people have photographed and illustrate, you know, an image. And the idea is to kind of accumulate, almost like an exquisite corpse type of project, accumulate these physical objects on the square over the course of the week to the point where at the end you can see the entire thing kind of visualized.
What's the final product?
The final product is a flag that is made out of truck tarp, actually, which is very, very similar to vinyl. And we're going to take those flags and actually upcycle them, in which is the Portland way, into bags for next year's festival.
It's the flag to bag.
Flag
process.
To bag. Yeah, and we're working with Spooltown on that. So it's actually really, really cool to have this whole sort of life cycle kind of play out.
Each day is going to be represented by a color, and so that's going to be represented on the color of the flags. And so every day there's just going to be a new color added to the spectrum that was started on Monday. And it's hopefully over the week, it's going to be pretty visually overwhelming and inspiring, hopefully, for people to come and check and see what people have been writing and saying. And then they can have the bags next year.
Do graphic designers have a special relationship with flags? Is it something you study in the first class?
You know, it kind of is, actually. It's a really successful flag. In order for a flag to be successful, you really have to kind of break down a lot of meaning into very simple shapes and forms. And also, flag is such a... as far as like the history of graphic design, I mean, you could really say that flag design is one of the very first kind of like symbols that we become super familiar with too, before we even know what graphic design is or what illustration is.
What do you think of the ISIS flag?
Are we really going to do like a formal analysis?
I don't really know if I'm completely informed to talk about that.
From a graphics perspective.
But you know, on sort of a related topic, I feel like the Nazis super understood graphic design.
Yeah.
I mean, that like...
And the British.
Well, yes. And you know, it's branding, really, yeah. Fundamentally, you know, I can't believe I found a way to work Nazis into this.
I know,
but
this is really taking an interesting direction.
So that's in the square. That's where you'll get the everyday Portlander dropping in. You probably get the TV crew in there. What are some of the highlight, you know, more sort of highbrow architectural events of the week?
Well, it's pretty exciting because the Center for Architecture ran a design festival for 5 years called the Art and Design Festival, which used to run the entire month of October, and they had a ton of architectural content. We partnered with them last year, and then they decided this year to just fold all their events into our festival so that there was just one festival going on, which is less confusing for attendees. So we have their homes tour, which is one of the highlight events from their festival, in the mix. As far as architecture goes, we also have Michael Graves coming and doing a main stage speaking engagement with the University of Oregon.
He's the guy who designed the Portland building, which is considered the first postmodern building.
Right.
He's 80.
Yes.
And I guess he doesn't come here very often to look at his seminal work.
That's right.
Who's going to be looking after him? What's he going to be doing?
The University of Oregon is taking care of that whole arrangement. This is kind of the beauty of Design Week Portland and the structure that we have is that we have so many independently produced events where each organizer is kind of minding this little universe inside of this larger universe. And we, as central organizers of the festival, don't actually have a lot to do with that level of production and hospitality. I mean, University of Oregon is really like responsible for bringing him in and making all that happen, in the same way that the AIGA is bringing in Steven Sagmeister, which is also a pretty big deal. And they have orchestrated that entire thing and
Steven Sagmeister.
So Steven Sagmeister is a graphic designer based in New York who is very high profile because of some of the personal work that he does, as well as his sort of take on client work. He's done some pretty controversial projects, things like carving lettering into his chest for a lettering project.
And I think what's interesting about Steven Sagmeister is that piece that Steely's referring to was actually created in 1999. And I think that there's so many different parts about graphic design that it's fleeting and kind of goes away very quickly, that his work sticks around and really has branded itself on a lot of the design psyche in a way that we can still point back to some of his works as being still pretty fresh. But it was a while ago. And I think what's interesting about Steven Sagmeister, as well as him having more controversial pieces, is also how he does a lot of exhibition and museum work. And one of his most recent exhibitions was about happiness. And he also took a year off and did a film about the concept of happiness. And so definitely he has a lot of emotion in his work. And I think that resonates with a lot of people outside of design too. So his talk has been very popular, and I'd like to make the announcement that people can stop emailing me for tickets, because I didn't organize that talk. It's totally sold out. And so, just as Celie said earlier about how one of the beautiful things about Design Week Portland is that these events are all independently organized, and it's so much fun to see over the last several years. So fun to see over the last several years and how they want to not only participate in the week, but also
and raise the bar every year. All of these independent organizers?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We've scaled up because of the way that people engage with us. And there's all different kinds of ways for people to be part of the programming with Design Week. So, you know, events, of course, are quite complicated to orchestrate, but we also have the opportunity for spaces in Portland to just open their doors as part of our open house design crawl, which is a huge component of the festival. We split up the city into four quadrants, and one day a week we have that quadrant featured. So Monday through Thursday, we're going to have each quadrant featured separately from 4 to 7 p.m., and people can walk around and check out making spaces, studios, some retail spaces. You know, they can get into spaces that are actually really difficult to access for most people.
Can they? This is the general public if they just pay.
It's totally free.
And you walk around in a group.
Well, you can go. And one of the things, so when my students asked me at Portland State, you know, what are some of the things that I shouldn't miss? And I said, you should absolutely. And I feel like Portland has a lot of student designers and has a lot of young designers too that really want to learn more about graphic design. And I absolutely say, go and experience every single night of open house. And this is such a low pressure way to get into spaces that normally would have closed doors. And they want you there, and they want you to ask questions. And it's really a wonderful way for you to investigate all these different spaces and talk to people.
Yeah.
What are some of the spaces?
Right. So if you're downtown or Northwest, there are a lot of architecture studios that will open doors. And that's a great opportunity for the public to kind of come in and just ask whatever questions about architecture in general, or again, like people who are young professionals trying to get into design on some level to just see how some of these places work.
Can you go and see Brad Klopfel's desk?
Is Allied on the map this year? I don't know. I'd have to look.
Well, but speaking of the map, our website has an amazing interactive open houses map that you can explore, and every single open house is identified by quadrant on that map. And it's really easy to create your own schedule based off of our website. I definitely would say, if you are planning on doing the open houses, to spend a little time on our website and create a plan and a strategy, because there are, how many open houses do we have?
There's nearly 200 this year.
It's not something where you can be like, I'm going to go to all the open houses in Northwest tonight. That definitely, that would be amazing if you did. I'd like to hear if you actually did, because I want to know who you
would
are.
Would you see much more than the layout of people's desks and what kind of computer they're using? Will you actually see their work?
Yes.
Yeah.
We encourage people to put out work, and some places will go above and beyond and actually provide tours. Like, for example, some print studios will actually show you how the equipment works. Or, you know, if it's more of a studio that's design practice, a graphic design practice, an interactive studio, an architecture studio, they will have people around to talk to you about their work. Some places will actually go as far as putting stuff up that you can look at and prompt conversation. So yeah, the idea is not to just look inside the workspace and see what it looks like. It's to engage with the people who do work in that space and figure out how they think about their work and what it is that they do in their practice.
Yeah, it's really to everybody's advantage if those open houses are actually facilitating a really good experience for everyone involved. And open houses do that. You're not going to enter into an open house and see a lonely bowl of chips and nobody else around. So hopefully not.
Yeah. Hopefully not. But to answer your logistical question from before, there's no organized manner in which you have to do this stuff. It's between 4 and 7. All these places have their doors open and you can make your own schedule. So it really does pay to look ahead of time and see what you're interested in. Each of the listings has tags on it saying what the discipline is in that space and a description about what they do and what they're going to have available during the open house. So you can actually create an account on our site and just literally plot out what you're planning to do.
Bring your skateboard.
That's right.
Absolutely.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Radio. My guests this week are Seeley Pines, the Festival Director for Design Week Portland, and Kate Bingaman-Burt, who is a graphic design professor at PSU. And they're talking about Design Week Portland, which is a festival, not a conference, of things related to design architecture.
That's right.
So what else is good that's happening?
So there are a couple of really interesting people coming in from out of town to speak at various events this year. We have Lisa Congdon coming up from San Francisco for an event called Sketch Exchange that a group here called WeMake produces. And it's a really cool event. Basically, Lisa is going to be putting up all kinds of work from her sketchbooks, things that were works in progress, things that, you know, were studies for some of the projects that she's done that are extremely well known.
Lisa Condon's, I would definitely say, probably one of the leading illustrators in the field right now. Her work is seen in a lot of commercial work, but one of the things that I feel like she does really well is she kind of creates her own existence through illustration, whether that's through lots of surface design, authoring books. She's also an author. She has a new book out called Art Inc., and that is being published by Chronicle Books. It's essentially a guide to business and art, which I know that she's going to be talking about quite a bit at Sketch Exchange. And again, from a student perspective, those are the most frequently asked questions. How do we make a living at this? And she's a very successful working illustrator and artist who's done a great job at this. She's also incredibly approachable, very accessible, and because of this, she has a huge online audience through Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And again, her sharing all of her process work at this event is going to be pretty special and pretty fantastic.
Yeah. And we also have Susan Skenazzi coming in from Metropolis Magazine. She's the editor-in-chief of Metropolis and a major design advocate.
What does she think of Little Old Portland?
She loves Little Old Portland. I mean, it's a happening place. So yeah, she's coming in for an event with PNCA, and she's also going to be speaking at the Dome with Namita Gupta-Wiggers, who was the curator at the Museum of Contemporary Craft until pretty recently. Namita's actually going to be conducting sort of conversations in the round with people who appear in other events at the festival, which will be sideline conversations about all the things that don't get talked about from the main stage.
Absolutely. Namita's an amazing conversation facilitator, so we're really happy that she is going to be the ringmaster for these smaller, more intimate conversations that are going to be happening every day down at headquarters.
Yeah. What else is going on? We have Tinker Hatfield, who works at Nike. He has been part of their design team for quite some time and is a big deal in the sneaker universe. He's going to be doing a workshop about sneaker design at U of O again. U of O.
I know.
Hitting lots of home runs this year.
I think they definitely were a group from last year that participated a lot. And now they're like, oh, this year we're going to do lots of programming, which is fantastic.
So. Does U of O have a big graphics department? Or just is this the architect?
This is more of the architecture and I would say industrial side.
Yeah. Who else? There's actually this awesome writers event that goes on at Ziba every year, and that is one of my favorites, which is put on by Carl Alviani, who is a writer over at Ziba. And this year they're going to be talking about how we get around in the city, which is a design problem. So he has a lot of really interesting writers who are going to be tackling that topic from different perspectives. He's also doing a fun little reading at headquarters with people talking about texts that formed them into the creative people that they are today. That's going to be on Sunday when we kick off at headquarters.
What is We Make?
Yeah, so We Make is the group that's bringing in Lisa Congdon from San Francisco, but they also put on a really amazing party at the tail end of Design Week on Friday the 10th. They have people making birdhouses from all different disciplines, and they auction them off to benefit art in the schools. And they also just really pull out all the stops and put together an amazing party.
Portland Makers?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's their identity?
Yes. They bring people in from out of town sometimes for some of their events, like Sketch Exchange. Yeah. Most of the birdhouses, I think, are made locally.
They are. This is the third year for the Put a Bird in It event, and the majority of the designers of the birdhouses, from illustrators to graphic designers to architects to sometimes there's birdhouses that are created by different studios. It's just a wide variety of good representation of the different people that are living and working in Portland. And again, all the proceeds go to benefit arts education. It's a great event. It's a good party. Again, it's its third year at Design Week.
Is any of this stuff going to be streamed?
No.
No, that's a good question. I mean, I think it's difficult unless the organizers that are putting on the event, unless they decide that they're going to be posting the content to their own websites later on. But there's not like a central way for us to stream programming.
Yeah, it's pretty much a decentralized terrorist cell approach to a festival.
To bring it all back around again.
To bring it back around to ISIS.
And to generalize, I think of writing now, since the tools are so accessible, there is this kind of sense everyone's a writer. There's still quality, but there's a long tail of rubbish, you know, illiterate nonsense and trivia. Is it the same? Has the same thing happened in graphic design?
I think to some degree, yes. Anytime something becomes more democratized, you get a little bit of that going on. So the tools are much more accessible now than they ever have been. And so, sure, there's always a hack factor that comes hand in hand with that. At the same time, I think, as with writing, you know, it is a craft and becomes very quickly apparent, I think, to people who are trying to do it without discipline that it's pretty much a dead end unless you really commit to it and put in your 10,000 hours to become, you know, actually competent at the skill set. Yeah.
Who would you say are some of the consummate professionals you're going to bring in? You know, those people who are not only talented but disciplined.
Well, I think that to achieve any level of success, you need that discipline. Kate is having OMFG Co. at her event at PSU for Show and Tell. They are a great example of local designers who, through not only the strength of their talent, but those hours and the just chipping away at it, have established themselves as a major local force in design. And not even local, actually, you know, national and international. Absolutely. They do big work. And that's, I think, the case for a lot of the people that are involved with Design Week or that come and speak for Design Week that are based in Portland. Portland has a lot of people who are quietly doing really major work that is seen across the nation and the world. And it's one of our goals to elevate those people.
Why do they do it quietly when you're all about branding?
Well, you know, I think that there's a certain degree of household name that is not necessary to have a successful design practice, and not everybody is in it for fame, per se. The people who are doing amazing work continue to get amazing work because of the track record that they have. But we are interested in elevating them above the design community because we think that the work that they're doing and the level of craft that they have is an important story. And it is an important story, not just for them as a brand, but for design generally and the value of design. And a lot of what we're trying to do is communicate the social relevance of design, the business relevance of design, and just its importance generally.
If both of you could only go to one thing after all this, sad as you would be, what would that one thing be, Kate?
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, I always like to twist that question a little bit because I'm going to say that one thing would be...
We're not in school now.
That one thing would be going to all the open houses, honestly. To have that time set aside to go and explore and ask questions. And again, that one thing, I said open house, that's really 200 different things. So there.
You worked that. Wow. I can't just choose one.
I know.
I feel like this
so
is Sophie's
hard.
Choice or something.
I know.
To bring it back to the Nazis.
This is a really great theme.
I can't choose one. Okay. Although we haven't talked about the opening party yet.
Oh,
so
yeah, I know.
I will include one small plug for that. It's going to be epic.
I'm Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Radio. My guests this week were Celie Pines, the Festival Director of Design Week Portland, and Kate Bingaman-Burt, who is a Professor of Graphic Design at Portland State University and is also one of the organizers. Design Week Portland runs from the 4th to the 11th of October, various locations, and it's all on the web. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having
us.
Yeah,
this is great.
Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
On the next Ear to the Streets of Portland, tune in to hear two of Portland's most beloved hip-hop artists, producers, activists, and performers here in the city to discuss their styles of hip-hop music. KBOO's Mike Crenshaw and Terrence Cool Nuts Scott will be on KBOO Airwaves Thursday, October 2nd, starting at 7 o'clock p.m. Hear the hard work it takes to stay loyal to an ever-changing genre of music that is hip-hop, and how these two artists have had to evolve with hip-hop. Also, call in with your questions at 503-231-7145. Again, that's KBOO's Mike Crenshaw and Terrence Cool Nuts Scott together to talk hip-hop. This is a do not miss right here on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 FM, and online at www.kboo.fm.
And now, the KBOO News at Noon for Tuesday, September 30th, 2014. California police will now be able to use surveillance drones without obtaining a warrant.